Yo, Pete's family, welcome to another episode of Fresh Pharaoh Entertainment. We're your host. I'm Horace the Pharaoh.
It's the God, Don the Ascended.
And your boy, Rod the God, back at you with another banger for the people.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Shout out to all the new listeners, all the old returning listeners. We thank you for your support. Y'all make this podcast happen, as well as Anchor. Shout out to Anchor. You know, best way to make a podcast. You feel me? Mm-hmm. So if you read the title, we're talking about the Baphomet. Now, we're just going to jump right in because this is a very dense one. This is only part one. It might be two or three parts, this one, because it's such a deep concept to get encapsulated all in one episode would be doing injustice to the whole occultism of this topic. So the Baphomet is occult science in a nutshell. It represents everything that all occultism is. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So for those that don't know what Baphomet is, let's paint the imagery. I mean, the image is in the little picture of the episode, but let's paint the imagery. So you have the head of a goat, right?
A goat,
yeah. The head of the goat. Then you have the body of a human that contains both the male and female parts of the body, right?
And be sure to notice that's the masculine firm shoulders, but still have the breasts and, going down.
So, and then you have various symbols, which we will get into. So essentially, when we go into it, the Baphomet contains binary elements of everything. So everything you see on the Baphomet is an opposite, or it's something that relates to it. As we said, like, it has masculine parts and feminine parts. And these binary elements are to symbolize the equilibrium of opposites, right? This is why it's half human, half animal, half male, half female, and the concept of half good, half evil, right?
Right.
Okay.
But the first and foremost concept, when people look at this, of course, we know all history is ours. So when we say stuff is evil, that's us doing down our own understanding of the universe. So when we, so like I said, to understand, there is no such thing as evil, right? I think we said this in the other episode. The concepts of good or evil were not any just concepts that we came onto the planet. No, these were things we created as a result of humanity, right? Our emotions onto things.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's something that's constructed based solely off of our human existence and our human perspective. You feel me? Like, the universe, the animals, plants, nature's animals, they don't go around talking about some, oh man, this is good or this is bad. Like, for example, if you watch a nature documentary, bro, and you see a gazelle get clapped by a cheetah or a lion or something, bro, them animals is not sitting there like, oh, this is good or bad. Like, no, this is just nature, bro. This is what happens. That's predator and prey. You feel me? And it's like, everybody always says, oh my God, I feel bad for the prey. I feel bad that they're getting eaten. I'm like, so you would rather that the other animal doesn't eat and starves? I'm like,
not only that, if they don't kill them, they're going to overpopulate, and then they all have no food, and they just die anyway.
Right. I was like, it's the balance. Like, you can't just look at any one thing and only take one certain aspect of it, because that's the aspect you want to accept and then reject the other aspect. You feel me? It's like, you know, we always talk about life and death. You know what I'm saying? Good and bad. There's no such thing as good and bad between life and death. It's like, no. Life cannot happen without death. Death cannot happen without life. We have no concept of one without the other.
Right. It's the basic principle of duality.
Exactly.
Yes. You can't truly understand one without the other.
And so with that being said, the Baphomet represents us. So what I'm saying is, we are the only science. We are what science is based upon us and energy. So even things like the swastika, right?
Right.
Because the swastika has been, you know, because how Hitler used it. Before Hitler used the swastika for, you know, the Holocaust and whatnot, the swastika was seen as a lucky charm pendant in Hindu religion.
Exactly, bro. It's it's another one of those symbols that's been had its translation or meaning lost and kind of, you know, changed and altered throughout translation. You feel me? Because like you said, with the swastika, that was originally a positive sign. The Baphomet, it's socially accepted to be an evil sign, but people really don't look at it for what it is. It's like, okay, you know, if you put aside the social expectation of what it is, it actually means so much more than what we're taught to believe.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And And the Baphomet is really beyond all that bullshit, to be real. Baphomet doesn't even relate to that because the Baphomet is all those symbols, right? Because when you look at the Baphomet, you looking at the optics. It's the imagery that appeals to you. And when you look at the picture of the Baphomet, which what makes it so unique is what it does to the subconscious. Because you have all these symbols that's being thrown at you and it's affecting your subconscious. But depending on how, you know what I'm saying, how deep your, how big your iceberg is, you know what I'm saying, how crazy your conscious is or how blocked that is to obtain the subconscious, you can only see certain aspects of the Baphomet that you allow to. Things like religion are blocking you from seeing what you're really looking at. You know, oh, that junk evil. That's
amazing. Like, the fact that, you know, you could literally break down the hand position. You feel what I'm saying? Like, that, what you're actually looking. I feel like people, they look at it and they're just like, oh, no, nah, that should just look demonic. I would just stay away from that. Like, bro, you don't even know how that looked demonic. You just think it looked demonic for whatever reason.
What exactly is demonic? You know what I'm saying?
Right. Because, like, right. Think about it. Even the image that we've all grown up to believe, you know, the demon with the pitchfork and the horns and shit. You know, that it's like that's literally what the societal image of a demon is or the devil is. And you see something that even closely resembles it, and now you automatically are going to say, okay, you know, this is demonic. It's like, bro, actually analyze what you're looking at. You feel me?
Mm-hmm. And so, first and foremost, in that point, as we said, it's about the optics, the symbology that it represents, rather than what it. Well, it's about exactly what it looked like. It's not about what you think it is. It's about what it is. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And this is why the imagery is so important. Know what you're looking at, because let's take it back to ancient Kemet, Egypt, whatever you call it. So you have all these hieroglyphs. Now, let's just do it. Like, again, you have the story of Set and Horus, right? Mm-hmm.
Set of is course. A jackal,
which means he's a dog, wild dog. Horus is a falcon or a hawk. Ain't no point do you see a hawk come and kill a jackal. That's just not how it works. That hawk not about to come pick up the jackal and eat it. That's just not how it works. You know what I'm saying? They have no reason to fight whatsoever. They don't even eat the same things half the time. So that's how I'm telling you about the symbology. Right, it's about the representation of the hawk and what it stands for, as well as what the jackal stands for. So the Baphomet is duality, right? So in that case, right, Horus, in this sense, represents the north position, right? Well, not the north position, but the northern positive Kundalini, right? Okay. That is your southern negative Kundalini.
Yeah, it's right? Like a magnet.
Yeah, right. Okay, opposites attract. Simple as that. That's the whole point. You know what I'm saying? Right? And so all these spirits and deities you read about or hear about in all these different religions and mythologies are all of you. Except maybe Greek and Roman. You know, they kind of wild.
They stole a lot of their stuff, but
they kind of just added some fluff in there that was not needed.
Yeah. But you know.
Like no, man, that's nasty, man. You know what I'm saying?
But all anything that moves.
Yeah, anything that moves was free game for them, clearly. You know what I'm saying? But all these deities and spirits are you. These were all to represent you. You know what I'm saying? All these represent certain aspects of the subconscious and how you think and operate. From Sobek down to Sekhmet. Okay, to further prove this, there are multiple versions of every god. For example, Bastet, you have Bastet and Sekhmet are two different gods that represent the same animals.
Right.
And one is Sekhmet. Now, if anyone, correct me if I'm wrong, but I forget if Sekhmet's the good one or if Bastet's the positive one. But what I'm saying is most deities have a dual nature because one represents the northern Kundalini aspects of it, of that deity, what you can bring in the southern. So what you would call positive and negative, or what you would call the good and evil aspects of this energy, right?
Right.
Similar, Horus, I believe, has three, I think is what? Horus the Elder, Horus the Wise, and I think it's just like Horus the King.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, and these represents the whole. This is your Holy Trinity. I mean, there's another version of the Holy Trinity in the Sekhmet and ancient Kemet mythos, but in representation to yourself, you are a Holy Trinity. The Holy Trinity represents you understanding the three main aspects of yourself: mental, physical, and spiritual. Right? Which you putting those three together. Because as we said, good is a human concept, evil is a human concept. So there is no you don't have a concept of these things, right? Evil is essentially unknown. So what we call evil is just darkness. And what we call good is just the sun. You feel what I'm saying?
Bro, it's like how we always are conditioned to look at dark and light. You know what I'm saying? It's like dark versus light. Like, bro, you realize that for every shadow, there's some light making that shadow, bro. Like, these things literally are the same thing, just looking at it from a different perspective. You feel me? I feel like it's all about perspective. It's all about what you believe it is. And, you know, going back to this particular image, if you believe that it's something, you know, crazy on some demonic shit, then you're not going to be able to learn truly about it, like the lessons that are to be taken away from the image. You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, you know, it's so much stuff that you can learn from this image, you know, especially when it comes to who you really are. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I feel like that self-knowledge, it comes from being able to broaden your horizons. You know what I'm saying? Don't get so caught up in your own perspective, your own belief of what you think something is, that you just rejecting everything that makes you uncomfortable. You know what I'm saying? That's inhibiting your own growth, especially when it comes to something like this where you can really learn something.
Right. And at least in this segment of the Baphomet, we're going to stay around just understanding the Baphomet as a regular symbol before we break down the bigger aspects of it. So right now, we're looking at it on the physical, just as you said. So with this, you also have to understand the etymology of words and symbols. To give an example, right? You know the word skull, right? It's pictured with death, evil, et cetera, et cetera, right? So it turns out the etymology of this word represents skill, which is the skill. Well, skull means the skill, which is unknown. That's what the word means. That's what the etymology of the word is. The skill, which is unknown. Yet we've decided to put the skull as an aspect of darkness and evil and death, right? But see, and when you know the etymology of words, you can see why they do things. Okay, you all know the movie Indiana Jones, right? Remember the one when it's like the crystal skull? The one about the crystal skull?
Yeah.
The skill, which is unknown, and it had them crazy powers and shit. It was bringing aliens.
Remember that, because that's the one where, like, the skull was on this pedestal or whatever. He had to, like, switch it out because of the booby trap.
All right. What?
I'm so sorry.
What this represented was essentially the unknown potential within you. Why it was a crystal skull, right? And so to be scared of this they're giving you the white definition. You know what I'm saying? And to take these white definitions and understandings of it means you ain't ready for the truth. You just a vegetable, boy. You sitting there. You just getting spoon-fed, boy. Water me looking ass, boy. You know what I'm saying? And then you have things like, okay, so let's go back to the topic of the Baphomet, right? So one of the main symbols on it is the Star of David, right? The five-pointed star, right? Six-pointed. Star of David, five, six. It's one of them.
That's the one with the two triangles pointed upward and down.
Oh, yeah. Six-pointed. My fault. But this symbol is also the Baphomet, right? Because the Baphomet also represents magic. Tremendous magic, right? And it's what the Baphomet, another word with the Baphomet means is to transcend with magic, right? Because the Baphomet is both genders, as we said earlier. It's androgynous, right?
Right.
Well, you know, it starts in the mind because the pineal, you know, when you look at the pineal gland, it looks like a dick and a vagina. Like, it looks like both if you take it and actually analyze it. It has both components in the mind, right?
I mean, I look at it as, like you're saying, understanding that divine feminine and divine masculine is within every person, regardless of if you are male or female. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of people, they think, oh, mm-hmm. if you a dude, like, your divine feminine, you're not supposed to have a lot of that. I'm like, bro, you got to tap into that side as well. You feel me? Because them energies got to be balanced.
Right.
You feel what I'm saying? And this image is showing that balance. Like, you seeing something that, okay, at first it looks manly. You know, you got some broad shoulders and stuff. You know, it's stuff Roger was talking about earlier. They look, he's like, hey, but he got some titties on him. Like,
you know, exactly. Then it goes right down to like the manly chest look. I'm like, huh, wait a minute. That's right. Different.
Because the bottom of what is represented with all these symbols is that this is for you to connect to the magic, right? This is for you to become the magician. Everything is about us being the magician, right? And so with that being said, that means essentially all beings on this planet are androgynous beings in that sense, right? Because we have both components of both genders, which is that divine feminine.
Bro, it's literally scientifically proven. Like, I was reading some document earlier, and it was about the reproductive organs or whatever. It was for some class I had. And I found out that, you know, the clitoris in a vagina? It's literally, when I tell you, it's literally the same structure as a penis. It's just sized differently. But the clitoris has all the nerve endings and everything, just like the tip of the penis. Like, everything is similar about it, bro. It's like, bro, are you pretty much saying that men and women, when you look at it, you know, structurally wise, you know, of course it looks different. They perform different things, but and on a basic scale, the structure, it's the overall same infrastructure. Thing, you
know what I
mean? Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And with that being said, I also want to bring note to the fact that when you take the word the Baphomet, right? When you flip it backwards, you also get how do I pronounce it? I think it's Tem of Ab, right? And what this word means is father of the temple. So take into account that this word backwards had a meaning before we had the word Baphomet. That meant that represented father of the temple. And this is my point, is that they hide it in plain sight. The backwards word, the actual backwards word of this word has its own definition, its own context. It means father of the temple, right?
Uh-huh.
So you are the father of your own temple. You create that saying, you create your own reality.
Bro, I feel like that's what the magic is that we're talking about. Because I feel like people hear magic, they think, oh, you know, we on some Wizards 101 type bullshit. Like, nah, bro, it ain't like that. Like, I'm talking about magic. As far as creating your own reality, that manifestation, bro, and seeing these powers come so, like, bro, it's the energies are so crazy, even recently. You know what I'm saying? Like, once you get that balance, once you got knowledge of self, bro, you are literally creating your own reality whenever you want to, bro. That's the real magic. Right.
And, I mean, but again, this also plays into why some people do not understand. Because this is why I tell people there is no such thing as wrong and right anymore. Everyone is right because they have their own reality in which they live in. So in which their reality and how they process stuff, they are actually right. Yes.
Bro, it's somebody out there who thinks that murder and theft and violence and rape is okay. And you can't tell them that it's wrong, you know, from societal point of view and from your personal point of view, it's wrong, but you're not going to alter someone's personal view on something. You know what I'm saying? So that means that there's literally every definition we have of right, wrong, good, bad, you know, it's all in our mind. It's all what we think it is. When you take out the human perception, the human aspect of it, none of this stuff, it's all the same. You know what I'm saying? There's no difference.
Right. And when we look at where the Baphomet came from, of course, we know these images were found back with the Egyptians, the Chaldeans, all these ancient civilizations, just under different names or whatever. But when it became coined, it was probably like, right, let's say, well, they say it came from the Knights of Templar, right? Right, in the 14th century, based upon that, during their trials and stuff, because they found people worshiping this thing, and it became symbolic with the devil, right? And, of course, then in 1856, right, I think it was this French person who who tried to contribute it with to start like creating dark arts, right? This is where the concept.
Eliphas Levi.
Okay. And yeah, that's right. That's right. Yep. He was an occultist. But this is where you have the concept of black magic, right? We are the black magic. You know what I'm saying? Black magic is always seen as evil, right?
No, that's really
because what happened was the church had begun to fail in French. That's the word. The church has begun to fall, right? And so people were looking. And as a result of that, people did not have any sense of thinking. They couldn't think for themselves. Their lives were going down because they didn't understand. So this occultist, right, he became a priest. And he realized the church was BS, you know what I'm saying? So he was someone who was immersing himself in these dark arts. But because he kept this Christian idea into it, he used things as like the tarot and the Kabbalah in order to uncover the truth of what this is. You know what I'm saying? It was, and then this is where we have the concept coined as the equilibrium of opposites, which is exactly what the Baphomet is.
Bro, even with the what am I talking about? The hands, right? The one pointed up and the one pointed down. Now that can actually be interpreted many ways. You know, it could piggyback off of what you know we've been talking about, the balance. The equilibrium, as you said, you know, positive, negative, clearly one pointed up, one pointed down, north, south, you feel me? And I feel like it also represents the as above, so below, you feel me? So it's like, okay, you got one pointed to the heavens, one pointed to the earth. That's symbolic of the fact that everything that we are now is a reflection of what's beyond, you know what I'm saying? Everything is just a different scale. You know what I'm saying? Look at the universe, the stars, the nebulae, all of that. And then look at the cells in your body. You know what I'm saying? Look at your eyes. And this stuff literally looks the same. You know what I'm saying? So that has above, so below. I feel like that's one of the greatest things that can be taken away from this symbol.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, let's just talk about the sigil, like the image of the Baphomet with the five stars. Let's just take one of those, right? So this sigil, right? The Hebrew letters at these five points, because there's five different Hebrew letters at each point when you have the actual sigil. And these words spell out the word Leviathan, right? Mm-hmm. And on top of that, the degrees between each point and every star, I think it ain't like 72 degrees.
Five point star?
Well, dang. Every star is 5 points, sir. But a star. We ain't talking about no 6 point star. We're just talking about a star.
Continue. No, continue. You gotta continue.
But I believe I want to say it's 72 degrees, right? And 72. I think 72 times 5 is 360, right?
Don't doubt yourself, boy. You had it.
Yeah. So each one is 72 degrees, and when you do that times 5, because there's 5 points in the star, you get 360. This is a cipher. So this sigil is telling you everything is in constant motion. This sigil represents time. This represents your life. This represents how everything moves, essentially, in the universe. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so, on top of that, I think this also equates to, I think it's something when you do it, when you find the amount of bones in our body, in our hands, just along with this five-pointed star, because again, five-pointed star, this represents your hand. This is why you have the hands positioning up and down, north and south, to represent the higher frequency, which is that northern kundalini and that southern kundalini, which is just your chakras divided in half, right? Because we know there's more than 7 chakras total, right? And so on top of this, with the Baphomet, you have the history of how it got to the image it has now. So we know the concept of the devil does not exist. This is the false name invented by people. You know what I'm saying? To just, you know,
that's fear. That ain't nothing but people wanting you to be scared of some,
right,
whatever it is, boogeyman, right?
Right. It was the devil. The devil was a toying term coined to imply unity when people weren't sure of what, well, is this true or not? I mean, you said, oh, if you don't believe this, the devil. So this creates unity. But if the devil is creating unity, that a devil that creates unity would be a god. You feel what I'm saying? So the devil historically is the god of any people that one person dislikes. As we see, and this happens every day. You know what I'm saying? So the serpent that we call Satan is not the enemy of man. It's who is the person who makes guys of our race knowing good and evil. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I feel like, well, keep going.
Well, I would say the serpent, Satan, this is the devil of the book of Thoth, and his emblem is the Baphomet. You feel what I'm saying? This devil that we speak of is the Baphomet, and this is us, because we have to remember, I guess we are dual beings. We are androgynous. This symbol is us in a nutshell.
Makes
sense. And this is why the zodiac image of it is the Capricorn, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And this is that goat, and this is attributed with things such as liberty. You know what I'm saying?
Bro, what do the how would you interpret the wings on the Baphomet?
The wings on the Baphomet.
You repeat that? You broke a little bit.
What'd you say? Oh, no one said anything.
What?
The wings on the Baphomet are to represent those physical. Let me see. Okay, so these are the same type of wings you find like on certain Egyptian deities such as Isis, right? The goddess of magic, right? And so these wings symbolize everything that's not physical. Okay.
And
right?
That's like what I was thinking. Like, you know how like when monks and shit, they be trying to get people to, you know, awaken whatever energy they got, you know, whatever it may be, and like, all right, you got to give away all your earthly possession, your earthly attachments. I feel like the wings symbolize
tethered.
Everything that binds you to this world.
Okay, say Roger.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, I was saying that sounds like it was the show Avatar asked Aang, he says, in order for the senior to release your earthly tether, like everything keeping you bound to like the earthly plane, something like that. And once he lost that tether, I believe it was like his loved one, he was able to like full flight, like he was no longer was bound to the ground, if I was calling that correctly. That's reminding me of
what's the villain?
Zaheer. Yes, Zaheer.
Right. And that's the exact thing. Because the wings represent, again, there's these non-physical. This is your astral, your astral dynamics. This is your intelligence. This is your spiritual energy. Because that's the things that let you fly. You know what I'm saying? When you tap into it. And this is why the Baphomet being seated, right, symbolizes these archetypes. Because the legs being crossed is the symbol for the things you can't change. Like when you look at the symbol that represents the legs crossed, you know, your legs crossed, that represents things you cannot change, right?
It is kind of crazy when you think about it, though. The fact that he got wings and he's sitting down, crisscross applesauce.
Right. It's understanding that you are above this physical realm, but you being in this physical realm at this moment, you cannot change, but your wings are the guide that allow you to go to the next stage. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right? Because some people often think, even with like the head of it, they think it represents the Pan, you know, the goat god and all that shit. You know what I'm saying? But these people didn't care about that. They didn't care about that. You know what I'm saying? But this is why it's stuff like this that these matriarchs use to you know, destroy this image. This is why we have, you know, this is why we have the star sign, the pentagram being taken and easily misconstructed and thrown back to us in all these ways, because if you look at the Jews, they used the pentagram all the time. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And they just call it the Star of David to keep you away from it. Because you'd be like, oh, well, that ain't got nothing to do with me. When this has everything to do with you.
Almost every symbol that society tries to condition people into believing has some sort of evil, you know, meaning. Almost all of them have some positive meaning, you know, behind the social aspect of it. You feel me? It's like every sign we see, it's like, oh my God, it's so bad. You actually do more research. He's like, yeah, this is not at all what I was taught to believe.
Yeah. And of course, that's just the way the game goes. But we are no longer held by the spell. After 2020, everything was lifted. So anyone who refuses to get knowledge is choosing to, because the hold is no longer on us. That was the spell. This is what the Mayans were referring to when they said 2020. Well, when they said what we thought was 2012 on their calendar equal 2020, because we don't go by their same calendar. Someone took like a few weeks off. I don't know, some idiot in Europe, you know how that goes. And they messed up everything, which is why our own date system is messed up. But 2020 was the date that the Mayans were talking about, right? And this was them saying the veil is lifted, as in the spell that they casted using our own magic is now lifted. So anyone who chooses to still stay in that spell is willingly choosing to stay in that spell.
Right. It's no excuse at this point.
Essentially, there's no excuse to be fearful of this image that you know nothing about, but someone told you it was this. And you did no thinking for yourself in order to rightfully understand who you are. And the Baphomet, this image, because there was a point when I used to be like, that's the devil. But now looking at it, I see nothing of that nature.
That's the same thing, bro. Because I literally used to look at it when I was younger. Mm-hmm. Like, bro, that shit just look evil. But now it's like, we in the age of information, bro. You can literally do some Googling research and go get you a book and literally teach yourself, bro. It's so much knowledge, so many different avenues of gaining that knowledge that the time of just sitting there and being spoon-fed information is over.
Right. And the Baphomet is probably your gateway into leaving. You know what I'm saying? This again, mm-hmm. This is your tool. Temopab, Lord of the Temple. You are the Lord of the Temple, right? This is why it was made backwards in the first place, in order to throw you off.
Right.
And today we see it often. It's also seen as like, you know, in like the form of hieroglyphs as well. But again, it's this, I mean, it all comes full circle, essentially, is what I'm saying.
That's true. I mean, this symbol, you see it, you know, and then it starts to rear its head throughout your life, and then you look back, you're like, damn, you know, maybe I should have listened. But hey.
Right. I mean, this parable, it's like, it's no longer, the way it is now, it's no longer in any need in this society because people have refused it. It's the misuse of this Baphomet that, like, you know, the unknown parties of, you know, this is where we have people who are able to misconstrue the understanding of it, like Aleister Crowley, you know what I'm saying? And they come up with their own methods and own interpretations because they know you know nothing about it, so they can tell you what it is, and you believe in every word they have, right? You know what I'm saying?
If you know nothing about the subject, you can consume every word about the subject if you have no prior knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I mean, essentially, the Baphomet also has every symbol. We didn't break down every symbol because, again, we'll do this in the other parts. But every symbol of the Baphomet represents all the seven laws of Tahuti, as above, as below, essentially cause and effect. I don't even know all of them, the law of attraction. All of those things fall into it. And see, the problem is, as humans, we only try to use one of the seven laws. Yes. And think we're going to get everything. You can't. People just focus on the law of attraction and wonder why they're still not attracting anything.
Well, it's because we as humans love accepting what we want to accept, rejecting what we want to stay away from, and never looking at the bigger picture.
Facts. But on that note, family, we're going to go ahead and close this episode out. There'll be more parts concluding, you know, going even deeper into this, you know what I'm saying? This was just a surface level to keep it simple, but the next part following this little sub series.
This really like the tip of the iceberg.
It's the introduction.
Yeah. Right, yeah, right. And on that note, you guys know the deal. You know the outro. All
right, boys. From Men's to Kings.
This has been Fresh Fire Entertainment. Oh, wow. Peace, family.
And we outie.